Uncle Jeremiah, boy, he's the biggest bass player in the county, ain't he? That's a big old boy, ain't he? Remember, he was Jesus in the Christmas play. So me and Ted Mack, our job was to drag him out. Me and Ted Mack can do that. So we talked to Jeremiah. We said, son, you ain't gonna better help us now. We get up on here and I pat you on the back. You just give up. Because if you try to help us, we all gonna fall. So we got up on him. I pat him on the back. And he give up. Me and Mack drug him off the stage and we were supposed to be mocking him. And I can remember thinking, what, Ted Mack must not be doing nothing over there. And I imagine Ted Mack is probably thinking, what, Brother James ain't doing nothing over there. But we got him off the stage, and Miss Angel said, how'd it go? I said, Miss Angel, I said, we can drag him or we can mock him, but I ain't got breath enough to do both. And I can remember thinking, Lord, you're going to have to do something. Just praying, Lord, you're going to have to do something, sir. Won't long, Miss Angel cut me and Ted Mack out of the play. That was an answered prayer, amen. It was an answered prayer. And that's what I want to talk to you about here tonight. I want to talk to you about prayer. Now that was a little funny ha-ha, but prayer is serious business, amen. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 tonight. Philippians chapter number 4. Prayer. First Sunday of 2020. Ain't that something? 2020. New year. It's a clean slate, amen? And I've been thinking and praying, and I'm sure y'all have too. It's exciting because all that mess I made last year just over with, man. God, start over a clean slate and just do great things for God. And I believe that's what's going to happen here at this church. Great things for God. Philippians chapter 4. And verse number 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I want to preach a few minutes on the topic that prayer is going to win today.
Amen.
Brother Luke, would you pray for us?
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray, Lord, you hide the man of God behind the cross. Lord, pray you give them the word you have in speech. Pray you touch each and every heart here, and they get exactly what you have in the message for them. Lord, pray you watch over the field good night. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Prayer's going to win today.
Yes, sir.
You know, prayer is one of the basic building blocks for the Christian life. Your Bible reading, your prayer, and there's fellowship, and there's things that we do in service, but if you don't get Bible reading and prayer down in your Christian life, you are always going to struggle.
Amen.
And if you get it down early, that's why we try to teach you children. Get it early in your Christian life, and it's going to help you later on. Some people you see, they've been saved 5 or 10 or 20 years, and they still struggle with Bible reading and prayer, and they still struggle in their Christian life.
Yes, sir.
It's a basic foundational building block. Mm-hmm. Now, prayer is one of the most powerful weapons we have in our fight for the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Individually and as a group.
Yes, sir.
Talking about prayer. And I want to win.
Amen.
And I don't care if they never play another stinking game. That mess don't bother me. And we can play a card game or funny ha-ha and I'll play, but I ain't much interested. But I sure don't care about winning. But when it comes to something for the Lord, I want to win.
Amen.
I'm talking about eternal things.
That's right.
All that stuff's temporal. Don't count for nothing.
That's good.
But eternal things, we need to make sure that we put forth our best effort in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ to win.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Prayer, the Bible says, we just read, is making your request known to God.
Yes, sir.
And should always include thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Well, why is that? First off, because you got so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
I do too.
No doubt.
I have so much to be thankful for. When I look back where I was before I got saved, the way I was headed, know where I'd be. If I hadn't got any worse, I'd still been in a stinking mess. God saved me and turned my life around. He's given me so much.
Thank you, Lord.
And the second thing is, a grateful child's appreciated more, isn't it? You got some children, you buy something, one of them runs up and snatches at your hand and runs off at the house. And You think, well, I don't know why I ever had that one. And then another one comes up and takes that gift and gives you a hug and I love you, Daddy. And you love them both, but boy, don't you appreciate that grateful child?
Yeah.
Do you think God the Father appreciates grateful children?
Yeah.
I think He does.
Yes,
I think He appreciates born again Christians that have trusted what His Son, Jesus Christ, did on the cross and appreciates.
Amen.
And when they come to Him in prayer, thankful.
Yes, sir.
That verse says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, mm-hmm. by prayer and stuff. You know, if you can't pray over it, you ain't got no business doing it.
Yeah.
You'd be better off not doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
If you can't pray over it.
Yeah.
And I'm not beating nobody down. You know, I watch Daniel Boone on television. I like Daniel Boone. Can't pray over that. I'd be better off probably not doing it. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. You know that prayer moves the hand of God?
Yeah.
A biblical prayer?
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of prayers going up ain't biblical.
Yes, sir.
These people praying for the foolishness.
Yes.
Is that a word, foolishness? I've been sitting in the pastor so long I'm making words up. Praying for the most foolish things. Carnal things, fleshly things. Prayer moves the hand of God, but it must be biblical.
Yes, sir.
1 John chapter 5. Hold your place here. Let's look at these verses in 1 John chapter number 5. Hold your place here. We're coming back. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14, speaking of prayer. The Bible says in 1 John 5, in 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us.
Yes, sir,
and if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. Mm-hmm. We need to pray, and we need to pray according to what the Bible says. Biblical prayers according to the will of God. People praying for things and possessions, and you know what? Sometimes we have missionaries pray and ask that they would get a car. Why? Because they need a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
That ain't car number 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord, give me one more car. Martin 7. Don't you see that license plate?
Yeah.
Have a last name in 5 or 6 or 7. That ain't the 7th car. That's what they need to be able to do the work that Lord calls them to do.
Yeah.
Praying for carnal things and fleshly things. We need to pray individually and as a group for things that move the hand of God. I want to see God move in my life.
Amen.
You want to see God move in your life. You want to see God move in your family. You want to see God move in this church. I want to come to this church house and come in and hear the word of God preached and see God's hand move amongst God's people. I want to see lost people saved. I want to see people that's been teetering and tottering and they're saved and they just can't get rooted and grounded and settled. I want to see them get grounded and settled in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ and just serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's what I want to see.
You're right,
brother. Even sometimes when you know you need to pray but you don't know what you need to pray for, or if we're praying according to the will of God, we have help. That's what Romans chapter 8 says. The Bible says the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings.
Yeah.
Ever been there? Just know you need to pray and things got your burden down. And you know you need to pray and just can't come up with no words what to say. You know what God knows.
Mm-hmm.
And that Holy Spirit knows and He'll intercede on your behalf.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit takes our heart's desires to God according to His will. We know that we're saved, we know we love God, and we know that we have the Holy Spirit of God interceding for you and I. I wonder why we don't pray more.
Yeah.
I wonder why Brother James don't pray more. And you probably insert your name in there. Maybe you can't. Maybe you are a straight up prayer warrior. Keep on praying. Praise God.
Amen.
Pray the best you know how according to the Bible and what God lays on your heart. Pray and let the Lord iron the wrinkles out. Amen. You ever pray like that? You got a problem in your life, and you know what the solution is. So you're not praying to God. You're praying to God about the problem, and then you pray to Him to answer, too. You ever do that? I've done that. Pray to answer to God. We don't know. We don't know We don't know what's best. We don't know the future. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's going to happen. We need to pray with thanksgiving, make our requests, be known unto God, and let Him iron all the wrinkles out. Amen. You ever look back in your life 5 or 10 years ago and say, man, I was in a mess right then, and God has worked this thing out, and I never would have done it this way. You ever think that? I look at my life and say, boy, I wouldn't have done it that way. Thank God.
Amen.
Talking about prayer tonight. But we should never pray selfishly. That's what James chapter 4 says. We pray that we may consume it upon our own lust. We shouldn't pray selfishly. That don't mean you can't pray for yourself. That's not what I'm saying. We can pray for ourselves. We can pray for our families, and we should, but we don't need to pray selfish prayers to just have some more things or some more stuff to please this old flesh or some more entertainment. Do we pray pridefully to enhance ourselves and our image? Or do we pray for things that will bring glory to God? You know what a preacher better be careful of? I've been preaching a while, man. Preaching a bunch of eggs. I mean, just lay an egg, man. Preach a bunch of them. Preach some messages where I felt like God was in. You know what a preacher better be careful about praying about? Praying about things that are bringing glory to Him.
That's
in the name
right.
of the Lord.
That's right.
And it's easy to do. It's easy to want more people. It's easy to want to hear people pat you on the back. We don't need to pray prayers that bring glory to ourselves. I'd like for us to have a big church. I would. I'd like for people to get saved and flock and hens have to bust the walls down. But am I praying because I want to see people come to God and see God glorified? Or am I praying that we can get people in here and I can be the full-time assistant pastor? They have them, you know. Why do I want to see that? Why do we want to see that? You can pray the right things for the wrong reason to glorify man.
Yes, sir. You're right.
You just will save your breath because God will not. I said God will not share His glory.
That's
it's
right.
His. It's His. You may get accolades, honor to whom honor is due. I understand all that, but it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because if it weren't for Him, none of us would be preaching.
Amen.
Wouldn't be. We'd be in this old world lost and dying and going to hell, caught up in some kind of religion probably.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. Nothing. Nothing wrong with praying for family.
You're right.
Praying for friends. And guess what? The church will help you pray too.
Amen.
That's what we do. Amen.
That's right.
We have prayer at 6:30 every Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Come join us.
Amen.
Ain't my place to scold, but you can get here at 6:45 on the dot every Wednesday night. Make it 15 minutes early and come sit down and join us. And let's pray. Amen. And I want to talk a few minutes as far as the church, what we should pray for. And it's not anything new. You know, I know sometimes I'm surfing web looking for something new. Like, you know, Paul was dealing with them Greeks and they was desiring to hear something new. And I don't think it's me hearing something new. It's just me. I need to do something with what I've heard and what I know. Amen.
Right.
It ain't I need to learn something else. I got more than I could ever use. I just won't do nothing with it. Amen.
Right.
I want to talk a few minutes as far as the church, what we should pray for. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. Where are we going to start? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What we as a church should be praying for. We as a church, born again Bible believers, we ought to be praying for people to be saved.
Amen.
Reconciled to God.
Mm-hmm.
Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 18.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation."
Yep.
Us. You and I. Look at verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. We need to be praying as a church that people might be saved. People we work with, family members, people we give tracts to on the street and talk to, and people will come into the church house and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Preached down at Maxson a while back, and a lady got saved. She had called Warren the night before Saturday night, said, I want to come to church. She got saved. I told her pastor for church, and she was down there this morning. And she said, hey, preacher, she said, this is my sister and my sister-in-law. I got them coming with me now. Man, praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Somebody got saved in the church house, and they're still there 6 months later, and they got other people coming. Well, that's strange in today's time, isn't it? That's a strange thing, isn't it? You know, an ambassador represents someone else.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. They don't represent themselves.
Yep.
We have an ambassador of the United States to Brazil. He's not down there representing him, whoever it is, or herself. They are representing the United States. And they take care of the United States business as it deals with Brazil. We need to tell people about the one we represent in hopes that they will be saved. Born again. Should always be the goal of the church to see people born again. You know, salvation is eternal.
Yeah.
So few things in this old world that are eternal.
Yep. Yep.
Salvation is an eternal thing. If someone's born again by the grace of God, they will be born again forever. Amen. It's eternal. If people are saved in the church, the body of Christ will grow. But guess what else will grow? The local church will grow also, amen. It's hand in hand. Some people get that backwards, amen. They want to pack the church pews, every kind of show there is, and nobody being born again. That's not God's way. We as a church should be praying that people might be saved, reconciled to God. Number two, turn to Philippians chapter 1 with me. Philippians chapter number 1. So we should be praying for people to be saved. Another thing the church should be praying for is that we as a church would love without compromise. You see a whole lot of love in this old world, and people are compromising the Word of God. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's an ugly word in today's time, isn't it? Judgment. You can't judge me. I say that all the time. You can't judge me. I'm just picking them. Look at verse number 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense in the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. We don't compromise God's standards in the name of love.
Amen.
That's not biblical love. God ain't going to compromise. If you trust in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter where you've been nor what you've done, God will save your soul. But if you think you're going to come any other way, you are going to die and go to a devil's hell. God will not compromise that, and we shouldn't either. Should not. We don't compromise righteousness in the name of winning the lost at any cost. You can't compromise. It's God's book, and it's right, and it's holy, and it's perfect. And if we want people to be saved and people to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then God's going to have to do it. And if we're compromising His book, guess what? He ain't interested. He ain't got to be. He's God. I preached this morning, Exodus chapter 12 and the Passover, and God just changed the months around. Okay, say it. It was like the third month. He said, this is going to be the first month of y'all now. There wasn't nothing they could do about it. Couldn't even protest. Righteous children please God. And if we love people while living in a way that pleases God, He will bless this work with souls.
Yes, sir.
That's what I pray for the missionaries many times. Lord, bless their labors, give them souls. That's what they're out there for.
Yeah.
To win people to Jesus Christ. And the key is verse number 9. Look at verse number 9. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Knowledge of the King James Bible and judgment of how to win people without alienating God. Do you realize that if God don't save somebody, nobody's going to be saved? It doesn't matter how great the preaching is. It doesn't matter how great the singing is. It doesn't matter how nice the sanctuary looks. If God does not save someone, they are not going to be saved. And the churches out in this old world and denominations, and they're turning from God and turning from God's standards and turning from God's book, and somehow expect God to just bless them.
Right.
Ain't going to happen. Jude 21 through 23 speaks of having compassion on some and saving some with fear. Talking about fire. He ain't supposed to preach about hell fire. People ain't going to want to hear that. Well, how do you know which one and when? That's why you got the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That's why you as a born again believer, the Holy Spirit is inside of you, leading and guiding you how to witness to people and how to talk to people and when to pick people up and when to dust people off and when to love people and when to tell people you need to get your behind off your shoulders, you're acting like a fool.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
This is what I'm telling you. If we bring that world into this church, God ain't going to be within a million miles of it.
Amen.
If we bring the circus in here, then what are we going to have? We're going to have a circus. We ain't going to have God involved in it.
You're right.
It will be us, not God. It will be our power, not His power. So Jack Hiles, one time he built that church in Indiana and people was being saved and it was growing and growing and things got kind of stagnant. He got to bringing people in for Sunday school. And one morning in one service, a particular service, he had like the world's strongest man. He had like an NFL football player and he had all these gimmicky people into the Sunday school trying to draw people into the church house with all that foolishness. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing the world's strongest man. Don't get me wrong. But in the church house,
yeah.
A place for everything, amen.
Amen.
We need to pray as a church that we can love without compromise.
Yeah, amen.
People talking about the love of Christ. Well, you're not showing the love of Christ. You're not showing enough grace. You know what Jesus told them old bunch of religious hypocrites? He said, "You're a bunch of vipers.
Yeah.
You're a bunch of snakes." Love without compromise. Third thing. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Some things as a church we should be praying for. What we need to be praying? That our lives will glorify God.
Yes, sir.
Our lives. The way we live. The way we talk. The way we preach, the way we teach, the way we welcome people, the way we witness, the thing we do with our youth, the things we do with our young adults, that everything we do, our lives would glorify God. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1, verse number 11. "Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." When we walk worthily, how do you walk worthily? Honestly. Let's be honest.
Yep.
Obedient, holy, righteous, the name of Jesus Christ is glorified. I didn't say perfectly. No one's going to walk perfectly. But you can be holy.
Yeah.
You can be righteous.
That's right.
You can be a good Christian in this old world. You can walk for God and talk for God and live for God and live a kind of life that this Bible says is pleasing to God. And when you do that, it's not going to glorify you.
Amen.
Let your light so shine before men.
Yep.
They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Yep.
Hey, they know you can't do it.
Yeah. Amen.
You may don't know you can't do it.
Yeah.
They know you can't do it. I heard a man say one time, this was a good one I thought. He said, to illuminate the sun, eliminate the sin. That's a good one right there. You think about that. If you want to put light, the spotlight on Jesus Christ, get that trash out of your life.
Yes, sir.
Because you can't do it. But for so long. You can't turn that leaf over but for so long. But if you walk for God and talk for God and pray like you should and read like you should and witness like you should, somebody's going to say, hey, hey, something going on right there. I remember the way he used to talk. I remember the places she used to go. I remember the things they used to do when something's happened, something's changed, and it ain't them. Something's went on there. To illuminate the sun, eliminate the sin. You know, the best evidence for an empty tomb is a changed life.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
You can't change.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. I can't change. Mm-hmm. But thank God there's one that can change us.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's not a week thing and it's not a 6 month thing. It's a forever thing.
Yeah.
God will change you and work in your life. And when you live for God like you should, it glorifies God Himself. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 3 with me, right here. You know what we need to pray for as a church in 2020? Some things we need to pray for. We need to pray that the preaching and teaching would affect people.
Yes, sir.
Look at 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. No preaching that doesn't affect people really isn't a whole lot of good.
That's right.
You know, I listen to him sometimes. What's the old dude, Jeremiah? David Jeremiah. Y'all listen to him? It's okay. I know you ain't supposed to, but I used to ride to work in Montana, so. And he'd be on the radio. And he'd preach, and he really wouldn't say nothing, maybe necessarily wrong. Dude just didn't say nothing. He was spinning wheels, and he didn't ever say nothing about anybody. Didn't ever say nothing to his people, really. It was just kind of smooth words. And I listened to him, but you know what? Didn't affect me. I listened to Dr. Ruckman, and I don't agree with all the man said. I can't say that. But what he said affected me, amen. It will affect your life. Good preaching and good teaching affects people.
You're right.
Amen.
The most eloquent words are of no effect without the Holy Spirit of God moving on people's hearts. It's no good. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. We need to pray as a church that the preaching and teaching would affect the people.
Yeah.
Without the Holy Spirit, it's all in vain. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit,
right,
God the Spirit, would move amongst our people and move in our church. And I'm not talking about some kind of craziness, kicking the windows out and jumping into baptism. That thing kind of scares me a little bit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God moving in people to where people change.
Yep.
Change. If I teach Sunday school every Sunday this year, and what I say doesn't affect anybody, it doesn't change you, then guess what? I have failed. Failed as a teacher. Pray the Holy Spirit will convict saint and sinner. Saint? Yeah, that's right, saints. We need to be convicted of some things. The saints would consecrate themselves to the Lord. Don't hear much about consecration, do you?
Yeah, right.
Last thing, coming to a close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Some things we ought to pray for in the church. This last one isn't a thing, but it's the way we should pray. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Some of y'all kids ain't thinking about this one, did you? Three-word verse, man. Y'all could have got out easy. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says, pray without ceasing. Hannah wanted a child bad, didn't she? 1 Samuel, she wanted a child bad. She prayed, she prayed, she prayed. And guess what God did? He gave her a child. He didn't just give her a child, did he? He gave her many children. She prayed without ceasing. Oh, Hezekiah, that dude's about to die. I was like, Isaiah. Isaiah come in and said, man, you're going to die. That's the prophet. He's in here. He ain't give up. You know what he did? The Bible says he turned his face to the wall and he prayed. And I guarantee you pray without ceasing. He about to die. He ain't going to stop for supper. I don't need that. I'm about to die. We should pray without ceasing. Job, you know what old Job did? Job prayed for his friends.
Yes,
he just sat there and argued with him for like 40 chapters.
Yes.
Back and forth. Them beating him down, him beating them down. But he prayed for his friends and turned their captivity. Old Jonah prayed. He was in a tight spot, wasn't he? Tight spot. He was in the belly of the whale. The Bible says that he was in hell. You won't want to talk him that off no praying. You know how we get. We get distracted and forget things. They leave our mind. You in the bed of the well, you ain't going to forget that. That's the way we should pray. That's the fervency we should pray with. That's the consistency we should pray with. Matthew 26. Jesus prayed, not my will but thine. Think he was focused. He came back and his buddies was asleep. He didn't let that stop him. He went back and prayed some more. Amen. Praying without ceasing. Folks, we need to be a praying church this year.
Yes, sir.
We need to be praying individuals. We need to be praying families. And we need to be a praying church. And we need to be praying that God would move amongst our people. Prayer is going to win today. That's what's going to win.
That's right.
This old King James Bible and prayer is what's going to win. Leave you with this. You know, it's easy to get to thinking our problems just so big that maybe there's no point in praying. But I don't think that's as much a problem as sometimes it's just so small and insignificant it just ain't worth praying over. You know anything that's big to God? I don't. Cancer ain't big to God. He's God. Amen.
Amen.
Bills ain't big to God. He's God. But leave you with this. No prayer is too small and no prayer is too big.
That's right.
For God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, brother. Pray some.